Joseph and Mary went to the temple on the eighth day. They had Jesus, and they, did you see the gift that they had in the little cage? What was that?
Yeah, two little doves. Why? Because they couldn't afford anything else. They
couldn't afford a big animal like most people had. They just had two little birds. And I thought that was so neat. And then they gave their baby to Simeon. I want you to take your Bibles if you need one. I'll be glad to give you one. Anybody need a Bible today? Can you need a delivery? I'll give you a few things. We're going to read Scripture first.
So find your place in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. You know the familiar verses. You know, in the days of Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that the world would be taxed. That's verse 1 of chapter 2. Jesus has now been born. His shepherds and the angels have gave him a heavenly course as he come in. In chapter 2, verse 21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves, as you saw in the video, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the, according to what version you're reading, it says consolation of Israel. Anybody got another word besides consolation?
Restoration.
Restoration of Israel. Got to get back to where you used to be. Anybody else got one? I heard of consolation, restoration. Some versions are the salvation. Isn't that cool? This man was waiting for the salvation of Israel to be saved, or the restoration to be back what we used to be, or to restore us to what we used to be. That's us today. Some of us either need to be saved, restored, or what? Maybe have some consolation to be consoled. We think, boy, it's some things are tough. We're just like Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, or this is going to be the completion. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I would pray that that be the case of all of us. Don't die before you experience the salvation of Jesus. It's a credit card company. I could borrow their slogan. Don't leave home without it. You better not leave this home, temporary home, without it. The consolation, salvation, restoration, whatever you want to call it, don't leave earth without Jesus. Because when I'm holding His hand, He'll escort me into heaven. You want to make sure that's the case. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he saw Jesus. May that be the case for all of us. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Moved by the Spirit, I like it too. Holy Spirit's just sort of leading. I want to be that kind of man. I want to be Simeon in this next year. I want God to just move me, to take me different places. It says, I'm going to use you. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in the arms, as you saw in the video, took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. It's like, Lord, you can dismiss me. You can take me home. I can die in peace. Why? Read verse 30. For my eyes have seen what? Your salvation. I can die in peace now. I have witnessed, can't think of these things too much, I'll end up crying, but I saw Michael Todd Harris die with salvation. And I went in to talk to Todd and said, Todd, remember that day I asked you if you knew Jesus? And you told me when you was a little boy you'd ask him in your heart. Are you sure of that? And he says, I got some doubts. I said, you want to get rid of the doubts? And he went, and with a voice that was sometimes weak, I never even told him to repeat. I said, let's make sure of that, because Jesus loves you and he wants to forgive you, and you know that. Let's just make sure, okay? And I said, let's pray together. And I said, dear Jesus, and from a weak voice, he went, dear Jesus. And we prayed through the prayer to make sure. And when we said amen, looked up, smiled ear to ear. People would tell me, they'd go into the room and say, Todd's in there just glowing. He's just shining. Something's different about him. I said, he knows where he's going. And if Todd could have said it, he'd have said what Simeon said. Lord, you can let me what? Die now, because I've seen your salvation. Same thing for my mama, holding her hand, letting her go. Same thing for my daddy. There's a world of difference between someone who has seen God's salvation when it comes time to go. My mama, they wanted to put her in intensive care. Mama says, that's okay. It's not going to be that long. Let's just be in a regular room. She said, can you say the 23rd Psalm for me? Sure. We'd be in there singing songs and reading scripture. And I went out. They didn't know who I was because I'd sort of snuck up behind them. But I went out and I was standing back to the nurses' section. And the nurses were going out there going, they're in there praying and reading everything. It's almost like you would even know someone is what?
Dying.
Because she's not. She's just graduating. God's about ready to put the tassel on this side of my mama. And mama said, let's say the 23rd Psalm. She'd just be smiling. I thought, the happiest person in this room is the person who's dying. She's fine. So when I got ready to let her go, she would have said, what, Simeon? My eyes have seen your salvation. I am ready to go. Mama would look at me and she said, I'm tired. And I want to see Gene again. That was her firstborn son who died at 21 in a car wreck. And she said, get to be with you, Daddy. I said, Mom, I wouldn't hold you back for nothing. And if you've ever been around someone who's seen salvation, I don't want to wait until my deathbed. So if someone at Salem High School says, hey, what? Why are you smiling and whistling when you come out of seventh period? I'd be pulling my hair out. And I said, well, I did that years ago. I'm now to the whistling stage because this won't grow back. No, I said, I'm fine. There's something different about you. And I'll say, what, Simeon? Well, my eyes have seen what? The salvation of the Lord. If you've seen God's salvation, there ought to be a difference in us. Amen?
Amen.
People are going to see you in 2016 and go, how can you do that? Why are you like you are? Because my eyes have seen God's salvation. Oh. We need to help do all we can to put the glasses on other people so they can see God's salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Mary and Joseph just sitting there with drop jaw reactions. They knew who he was, but they have just now. Talk about confirmation. This is the high priest who is a righteous, devout man full of the Holy Spirit. He just now said, your son is the Savior of the world. Wow. Mary's probably like, well, I knew that. Joseph, he's pinching himself over there. Did you hear what he just said? I mean, we know it, but to have it actually right here in front, it sort of helps you realize. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary's mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple. Talk about some of us get tired of going to church once a week. She never leaves church. She just worshiped there day and night. Never got tired of worshiping, fasting, praying. It just ingrained. This was her lifestyle. We could learn a lot from Anna, couldn't we? Coming up to them at that very moment, God's timing perfect. She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. Just picture Jesus. Strong. He was filled with wisdom. He was smart, so physically, he's tough, wisdom, intellectually, he's smart, and the grace of God was upon him. He was spiritually right where he needed to be. Word they went to the temple. Now, I don't want to get into the next session, but it says every year his parents went back and took him to the temple, the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, he stayed in the temple and started teaching the people there. But this is the same temple, this is the same Passover time that some 21 years later, after he was 12 years old, he would visit it for another reason. What do you think of that, Simeon? Hey, Simeon, I want to be Anna. Let me show you a couple things today. I started off in reverse rather than... that's a little boy right there. If you don't know who that is... Gene, do you know who that is? Yeah, that happens to be me. And I've grown a lot since then. It says Jesus grew physically, spiritually. Matter of fact, you just find all of us, you say, well, if I glance back, I could bring a baby picture. And boy, I've changed since then. Chris, I had blonde hair like you guys. What do you think? It turned, some people's hair turned colors, mine turned loose. So it's, I had blonde hair. When I was that little boy, I grew up and I've changed quite a lot since then. Who knows what God's plans? Did my mom and daddy say, here, use him? I have a feeling my mama probably did. She said, God, you brought him in the world in a neat little way. So would you use him? Okay. Well, God's got special plans for you too. Well, that's just for you. Oh no, don't ever think that. Jeremiah 29:11. Back above Jim and Marjorie's heads. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. Let me say it again. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. Not to harm you. Oh, God will send me to the Congo. I'll die on a fungi stick. Well, if so be it, go ahead. But I don't know that he's plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So, declares the Lord. The Lord declares it. God has some special plans for all of us in this brand new year. When we are obedient, we see God's hand and plans easier. If I get in this and read it, and if I pray, if I'm more obedient, I'll see His plan. If I don't, it's sort of like looking through cloudy or dark glasses because it's like His plan. God, won't you make my plan? Won't you make your plans clear? And He would say back, well, I would. But you got so much sin sort of creeping in your life every once in a while. It's hard to look and see me. Sort of like sin picture. Sin sort of like fog. And we sin and it moves in. God, I can't see you. Ain't God's fault. Saw a bumper sticker one time. It says, if you and God used to be close, it wasn't God that moved. That's you. It's me. God, I don't feel close to you. I'm still the same place I always was. God, I don't see you at church anymore. It's because you don't go. Oh, so it's me? Yeah. It's funny how when we do good things, it's us. If we don't see God, it's His fault. We get that in the wrong. Flip that around. When we do good things, it's because of God's grace. And if something messes up, it ain't His fault. When we are obedient, we see God's hand and plans easier. Here's another thing to remind you of. Let's not become weary in doing good. You say, I am going out, yeah, Georgia, and January the 3rd, I am so tired. Lasted a whole 3 days. When I tried out for football in high school, 65 people tried out that morning. We came back in the afternoon, had about 40. 20 had already quit. We finished the season with 21. So that means to tell me that from 21 to 65, wow. Lost 44 people somewhere along the way. They got weary. Someone got weary in about an hour. Anybody ever taken a job and somebody's quit in just a couple hours and you later see your friend like, aren't you working at some? Oh, I couldn't stand that job. I worked there about a half an hour. Wow, really stuck out. I had a friend that went to Burger King, got a job in the morning, went in about 8 or 9 o'clock. He went home for lunch, never went back. I said, at least give him a shirt back. You know, they gave him a red shirt, had Burger King. I guess he just wanted to wear that around town. Maybe he was proud of it or something. You worked for 3 hours and quit? Wow. My brother's in Nam. He didn't have the option of quitting. I think I'll quit and go home. See y'all, guys? No. You ever worked a job you about hated? You don't have to tell me where it was. Boy, I have. Why? Needed the money, needed to pay bills, teaching me character. Oh. And somebody comes alongside you. I think it's a lot of times it's just perspective. I went fishing before. You go down there and catch nothing, you're disgusted. You walk up the bank and go, I'm going to break a fishing rod and throw it through a window. So I just, and somebody will pull up at the top of the hill. You see this, Giles. And somebody get out of the car. They're going down to the same hole I just left. I'm disgusted with it, and they can't wait to get there. Ain't going to catch no fish, so I'm going to see. Hey, you have a great day. Going right down there to the same one. So wherever your fishing hole is, so to speak, on whatever job you have, whatever family you have, I want you to be whistling. I want you to look to catch fish. Oh, I'm tired of this. If God treated you the way you treat Him, what kind of shape would you be? Can you imagine God just turned around? Edgar Moses. Yeah, since you used my name, I thought I'd use yours. I had a little track one time I read it said, God's last name is not damn. Because the world thinks it is. Don't ever ask God to damn something. And I get in the habit, I don't even want to say His name irreverently. That's just me. You say, boy, Edgar, you're preaching this. I'm just telling you. If one of my students says, good God, and I said, yes, He is. Praise Jesus. Quit using the name on the smack. You know. Somebody gets in the car and goes, Jesus. Is He here in the car? I know He's here, but did you see Him too? You're trying to be funny, aren't you, Mr. Moser? No, I just don't want you to talk about my Savior. Can I talk about your mom? No. Well, then don't talk about my Jesus. He said, gosh, you're picking. That man can save your soul. He did save our souls. Don't take Him irreverently. And don't ever get tired of working for Him. He's the greatest boss in the world, isn't He? God, I'm just tired of working for You. I am weary. You don't have to be working. I'll take you out later. Okay, maybe I'll get back to work. You don't have to work. I can help you retire early. He doesn't do that. How about this? In the new year, God has plans both for you personally and for us as a church. If we stay faithful, we'll see God's work. You're going to turn around in February, March, and I'm going to put God to the test. I'm going to say, God, You show us something. I'm going to be disappointed if You don't. Can we do that? It's called faith. And on March 1st, you look around, there's 75 people crowded in here. Remember, we're setting our goals. Set your vision. Oh, you're setting your goals high.
Yep.
Yep. Can't we just sort of coast? No coasters for Jesus. Only coaster found in heaven is one sitting under a glass. Okay? Put me in a coaster. But you want us to fire. Yeah, it's like the little... Remember the little boy had the pop gun? He's going, poof. Put the pop in. Man come back, what in the world are you doing? He says, I'm trying to shoot the moon out of the sky. And that man said, you're not going to shoot the moon out of the sky. He said, I'm coming closer than you are. See, because at least he was trying, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Or the little boy walking on the shore, picking up the starfish, remember that? Zipping it back in the water. Shore just covered, and the man says, what are you doing? Trying to save the starfish. Well, you're not going to make a difference. I did to that one. So whatever we do, remember the song, Little as Much... When God is in it, little becomes much when God puts His hand. Let me bless this. Wow. Thank you, God. I pray God all the time. I say, God, can I have Your favor? Can You sort of anoint me? Can You just give me a space? Can You give me a blessing? He said, oh, you save that for when you preach. No, I save that when I'm trying to hook up the water to the tiny house. Mm-hmm. I save that when I'm working on a car. Sure. I save that any. I just use it all the time. Lord, would You heal Hokie? He sounds like Hokie's asthma medicine hadn't come in. It must be on a mule train from Colorado or something. It's going to get here in 6 weeks. He needs asthma to get, you know. He's went about 2 weeks without it. Well, last night he started, me and Jenny both woke up. Is that Hokie? It's like, Now you're looking at the man that gave mouth to mouth to that cat.
So laugh at me if you want to. Okay. But
Pokey's my calf. Well, Lord, would you just anoint him? Would you take care of Hokey? You're anointing, you're asking God's favor and blessing on the cat.
I don't care if you think I'm crazy. Guess what we did one time? Hokey was having attacks. We had a little Bible study at the house one night, and the woman said, you know what we all do? Well, I'll just put oil on him like James says. And I went, let's do it. Took a little dirt. She said, what kind of oil do you have? In there in the kitchen. Some of y'all going to think I'm crazy. This day on, I don't care. It's not bad. Like, she just had a little oil, and she said, I went in there, put it on Hokey. It's like, Lord bless Hokey. May he not suffer from asthma. May you take care of him. Bless him. Hadn't had an asthma attack since. About 6 years ago. Does that work for everybody? If you have faith. What is the oil magic? No, the oil is just a symbol or just an action carried out. You know, I can say to Jenny, I love you, but if I give her a hug and a kiss, it means a little bit more because you put actions behind those words. I love you. That didn't mean a whole lot, did it? What if she said, you want something to eat? Yeah, McDonald's is open. Walked off. That wouldn't be very nice to... Or Long John Silver or something. Want another fish sandwich? No. I'm going to start swimming up in Williamson Road here for too long. God's got some plans. Okay. So we're putting in reverse. I gave you my Bible story. Bible story first. I want to share a couple other things for you today. It's just like, I don't have all this food to share. That was my table the other day. Christmas. Don't be looking in the kitchen for this. But that would be called a buffet or a smorgasbord. So for today, I'm sort of mixing the two or three things together, but this is just what God told me to. Quick review of something that is very important to your future success. Some things you should consider implementing in the new year, and some future ideas and goals I have for Life Point Church. And I'm just going to do this in rapid fire fashion, but what's a quick review of something that is very important? It was a series I did a few weeks ago, and I still think it's important. So think about this. A quick review of something that is very important to your future success, and that's called this. The principle of the what? Yeah, the principle of the path. Some things you should consider implementing. So Andy, punch them, and let's see. The principle of the path. I'm going to mention it one more time because it's so important. Some things you should consider implementing this year. If you've never done it, I'm going to put you on a reading plan. You say, if it wasn't for anybody, I'm going to do it just for you. Well, you do it for me, and after a while, you'll do it for Jesus. I'm going to put you on a reading plan. I want you to pray. You say, I don't even know what to call him. What do you call him? Jesus? I don't even know how to pray, but I'm doing it. And here I am in Acts, A-C-T. I adore you like the Christmas song. Oh, come let us adore him. I adore you, Jesus. And I've messed up. That's confession. I confess my sins to you. Would you forgive me? Because the Bible says, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And I don't feel like I deserve it, but that's the father of lies telling me. I want to instead listen to the son of truth. So I know you forgive me. So I adore you. I confess my sins before you. I thank you for what you did and what you are doing and what you will do. And here's some requests, supplication. Lord, would you help my cat that, you know, would you help mine, and then you just go through your list. Acts, A-C-T-A. We'll learn to pray a little bit better. And I've got to share what's inside us, or we're just... What's the Bible say? Hide in under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. God has given me a light. He's the light of the world. He's in me. I don't want to conceal that light. Well, how are you going to do that? We can hand out a book, like Jerry does. Hand out a book, Gospel of John. We can tell somebody at work, hey, come to Life Point. Well, what are you going to learn? I don't know. You come, the preachers tell you. I don't know. You just get them here. I'll talk to them if you get them here. We'll lock the door as soon as I get here. No, I just get. You get them here and I'll talk to them. You know? But please think about sharing more. You can't keep us this good stuff to yourself. Some future ideas and goals I have for Life Point. I want to do some more outreach videos. I want us to memorize some scripture. Trish asked me a week or so ago, or I sort of let her have this. I've got some verses in there. Joe is, how many verses we have? 50? Joe and I started doing this on our own. We're trying to spur each other on, spur. But I'm going to give you 50 verses. If you just read that, you say, well, what if I only get two or three done? Will you carry them around in your pocket? Come down to card size, put them in his pocket. That's what he does at AMCO. That's his church, by the way. You know, the counter
is the pulpit, sort of. Make wherever you work. You can't help but think about Jesus when you're a carpenter, can you? Man sitting there with a lathe and think, Jesus did this. Chris is a carpenter. So I'm thinking, wow. And your job, wouldn't that be cool? Make it your sanctuary. And memorize scripture. Somebody, hey, what's going through? How's it going? Ah, doing great. I'm sitting here in sitting in wine at Walmart. I'm just trying to memorize. What are you doing? It's a Bible verse. You don't believe in that, do you? Absolutely. It changed my life. What verse are you reading? For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. That's you and I. But I'm not picking on you. I am too. But we can get forgiveness of that. What verse is that? You're witnessing right there. You don't even realize it. Okay. Got to hurry. Here you go. Next. So there's my smorgasbord ideas. I'm going to review you. You ready? Let's see how well you do on the principle of the path. Going straight through this. Principle of the path. Understanding where you're headed. Keep in mind that your what determines your what. Oh, don't
your
feel it.
Intentions.
No. Keep in mind that your what determines your what.
Destination.
Your... Yeah, keep going. What'd you say, Chris?
Direction.
Go ahead. Punch it up, Ray. Keep in mind that your direction determines your what? Destination. You cannot go to Washington, D.C. You can't go to Benton if you're halfway up to Washington, D.C. in Winchester like we were delivering a piano one time. Keep in mind also that it is your what? All right, Andy. Your direction, not your what?
Intentions.
I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go. You've been saying that for 4 years. I really intend to go. Let me tell you what intentions are. No matter how good they are, noble they are, if you don't carry them out, good intentions amount to what?
Nothing.
You know, I was going to play baseball in high school and be all American. What are you? I'm a fry cook. Okay, great. And everybody made it up to that goal. Wow. Sally, it's been said that the what?
Road.
Or path. Go ahead and punch it up, Andy. The path to
hell
is paid with good
intentions.
How many people are going to be at judgment seat and say, I really meant to get right with God? I just never got around to it. What'd you get around to? Washing my car, growing grass, you know. Got around to everything but God. What may surprise you, it's amazing, but sometimes there is a total
disregard.
Disconnect. To what we want to do or where we want to go compared to where we really are headed. I mean, really, if you went to the prodigal son, he's down there in a pig trough, slopping pigs. I'm going to be a preacher one day. Somebody would probably come by and say, you sure are in an odd place, dude. If you really want to be a preacher, you need to probably be obedient to your dad and go where? Back home. You know, you're right. Changed direction, went back home, and started doing what you should be. Perhaps the biggest amazement is when folks finally arrive at their destination, they act what?
Surprised.
Surprised or even shocked. How do we get to Winchester looking for Benton? How do we go into the tires and battery looking for
milk.
Gallon of milk? It's over here somewhere next to the snow tire. I don't know what it is. Somebody comes over and says, let me put you on the right path. How about trying the dairy section for milk? Who would have thought of that? Have you seen my sweater? You ever have kids do that? Y'all looked in the closet? There it is. Who would have put it in the closet? What are you doing, Mom? I usually keep it. Yeah, just don't tell me. Usually keep it in the trunk of the car. Next, the principle of the path, understanding where you're headed. How about this one then? The common questions. Upon listening to someone's story about where they're headed to for so long, what they've been doing for so long, and then having them be surprised at the outcome. We may hear this person ask, how on earth did this happen? How on earth did this happen? I mean, how did I end up being this way?
I usually don't work for a musical company.
Your prescription ready.
My heart had almost stopped. How on earth did this happen? To which we feel like asking, what did you
think
was going to happen? I'm running around the motorcycle gang, tattooed 666 on my forehead, sleeping around. You tell your daughter, now where do you think this direction is going to hit you? Oh, we're probably going to go to Liberty next year. I see you're dating the Antichrist, riding on a motorcycle, sleeping, smoking, chewing, doing everything in the world wrong, and you think this is going to turn out right. This can't be good. You ever watch a scary movie?
Yeah.
I don't like scary movies. But anyway, the person goes in, they're out there by themselves, ooh, you know,
scary haunted house. Let's go inside. What are you doing? I'm kind of selling. I would think right there, where would I be? I'm going to be in the car, 80 miles away. But instead, you open it up and everybody's sitting on the edge of your seat. You just go down those steps and what would you think? What are you doing? Then all at once out of like that, something happens. And you think, and some grabs them by the throat, and you sitting there on the couch do not become sympathetic. You say, well, stupid, what do you think is going to happen? You're walking in our house where nobody in the basement, no, let's go down in the cellar. Let's not. What do you think's going to happen? You go down there, click on the light, everybody's having a Bible study. Hey, guess what? No, it's not. That just don't happen. It doesn't happen. So why are we surprised? We never read, we never pray, God, you're punishing me. No, he's not. He's trying to get your attention. A new perspective. This switches around. Sometimes it helps to get a new perspective, which is to see what we're doing from another view. Ask a friend. I wouldn't do that. Ask your mom and dad. I ain't going to do that. I know what they'll say. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what you need to do. We may need to stop, sit by, evaluate where we are headed. Keep in mind the... Go ahead, you can give me the answer. The Bible can always help us see things the way what? God sees it. Well, does the Bible say anything about it? Well, read it. Find out. We may need to admit we're wrong when we read that and say, oh, I'm not supposed to gossip. I'm not supposed to mean. Preachers back home used to call that the Bible stepping on your toes. You ever do that? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. What's a nice way of saying that? Don't be mad at your wife. Don't let the day end go, I'm mad, well, you mad, back to back. You wouldn't do that. I'm sorry, but you were wrong. Don't do that. It's a loaded apology. I'm sorry that you were wrong about me because I was really right. What? I'm sorry. We both were wrong. We both were right. Would you forgive me? And the devil goes, I thought I could keep them aggravated and mad at each other. Because when people join together, a strand of three cords is not easily broken. That is, if we're in fellowship with others, the devil has a tougher time defeating us. If someone says, I'm just depressed, I'm defeated. Tell me who your friends are. I don't have no friends. I just stay totally by myself. Okay, well, you need to change that. Because the devil loves to get the lone wolf. He just pulls you far from the pack. He'll beat you to death. When was I supposed to think? When I was backslid out of church, away from Christian friends. Isn't that amazing? Going in the wrong direction. Hanging around people who shouldn't. Doing things they shouldn't do. Wondering why I was miserable. Got the purple. Instead of asking, how did this happen? We may ask, what was I thinking? God, prodigal son, he came to his what? Senses. Two big things can help us finally get on the right path. Yeah. These valuable items are... If you would just start to pray, and again, you got to start talking to God and doing this. Once you pray, just keep this as a constant confession. God, I'm still struggling with this. Because when you confess, you're really a humble person. And if you stay humble, well, whoever was humble. How about Jesus? He became humble, even obedient to the death of a cross. Okay, that was my first thing. I want to remind you of a good perspective. These other two can go by real quick. Second thing I want to do is this. I want you to make sure, I'm going to give you a few ideas of a quiet time. Would you make sure you try to pick a time sometime during the day, either as soon as you get up or before you go to bed, and do these things right here? Would you start with 10 or 15 minutes each day, just find a good time, read some scripture, I don't care if it's a chapter or five verses, think about it and talk with God. And I'm going to tell you that here's what you'll do. You'll find, let me give you a little secret, devil don't want me giving you any hints, but I'm going to give you some. I love it when I can divulge the information that the devil don't want you to know. Here's what I often do. I'll put a song in. Sometimes you've done this. You'll be listening there, and you listen, and it's all at once you say, I don't go, nothing's happening. Well, it's not a secret formula. God, do something here. I'm just standing here. Boom me up, Scotty. It's not that anyway. But it's like if you'll just be obedient, and it's almost like God. And then all at once, it'll click, and you'll hear a word from a song, read something, and go, whew. And if I come back and say, Chris, you all right? Tears were running down his face. He said, I just read where this man Simeon said, I can die now. I've seen Jesus. And I'm just glad I've seen him before I die.
And all once he's hit by something, and God will just... But it's almost like you got to stay there long enough. It would be like, be real quiet, listening here. Oh, I hear that motor now. See, we had to get quiet to hear it. You got to get quiet to do it. God just, okay, let me redirect. Got it. God, do something magical. He doesn't do that. So you got to sit there long enough for him to soak it in, and it ends like this. I used to pray for a few minutes, then a little bit more, and now I'm late for work if I don't quit doing it. Oh, I'm great. No, don't ever think that. Elmer Towns, a guy that was together with Jerry Falwell, founded Thomas Road Baptist Church or Liberty University, he said, I was so convicted I didn't pray. I just set up a prayer closet. Now, I'm going to help you in a few weeks to think about prayer because I'm going to show a movie called War Room. Anybody ever seen War Room before? Powerful movie. Talks about having a prayer closet. Elmer Towns said he went into a closet and he said, I don't have to have the closet, but he said, I locked, cleaned it out, had the closet, closed the door, and he said, I prayed about everybody and the family and the friends, just prayed about everything. I thought I'm going to be in here for hours and hours and hours. And he said, after a while, it's like, okay. Looked down at his watch, it had been 10 minutes. He said, I felt like it had been 2 days. And then before too long, he said, I've done a lot better now over the years. You pray and it doesn't seem like a drudgery or a chore. It seems good. I'm going to get you let's start with 5 and then 10. We'll work ourselves up. Last thing is, on January 10th, we will show a movie. I told you my outreach idea. I want to show the community. Here's what I want to try to show them. We're going to show a movie. The whole purpose is for you to invite your friends and family to the movie. On January the 10th, second Sunday in January, we're going to start the year, hit the ground running. The movie will clearly challenge all of us to deepen our walk with the Lord. I think it'll do that, and it'll also give the gospel so clear. I'm so committed to trying to reach our lost friends and family, to challenge all of us to be our best for the Lord, that I will give each family. I've ordered 20 copies of this movie. I'm going to show one. I'll give you a copy. You take it home, and if you say, show it to your kids. Show it to people. If a neighbor comes up here, borrow this. If you can't talk, let the movie do it. You're going to give me a movie? Yeah. If you'll use it. My mama used to say this, I don't mind, take all the food you want. Just what? Eat all you take. Take all you want, but eat all you take. But don't take his movie home sitting on the shelf. You take it and use it. That's how my goals. We got to remember, head in the right direction. We got to remember, start. It's just feelings or emotions if you don't start putting some prayer and some feed on those, on your prayers. So you got to pray, you got to read, you got to start sharing your faith, and we're going to help share it as a family by having a better outreach here at LifePoint. Annie, last couple things. There's the movie, Do You Believe? Anybody ever seen Do You Believe? Isn't it worth showing? Yeah. It convicts you. Do you believe? And with that in mind, think about this. I'll start with us. In the Kane Summit Hospital back in about 1921, Robert O'Neill Kane was a doctor, and he'd come up with a new idea that said he could localize, he could give you a local that would numb a certain part of your body without putting you totally under, because when I put you totally under, you may not wake back up. That was back in the day, people would die when you put them under. And instead, he said, I've come up with this idea, we'll just numb a certain area of your body. And people were skeptical and said, that doesn't work. He says, it does. Let me get a volunteer and I'll show you. He hunted around and Dr. Kane couldn't find a volunteer. Finally, somebody that needed their appendix removed. They were in pain. They were the volunteer. Now, history was made because he used a local to numb that area. And then, the other thing. So it was February 21st, I believe. They prepped a person for surgery, got ready to do the surgery, and Dr. Kane removed this person's appendix, who was in pain, who obviously needed an appendectomy done. The patient was fully coherent and talking during the operation to prove his point. Appendix was removed, sent to post-op with this little minor discomfort. In the next couple days, he was okay again. The amazing thing about that, Dr. O'Kane had performed over 300 appendectomies, so he knew how to do the appendix. He used to excise it out. The other amazing thing, though, he took the appendix out of himself. He removed his own appendix.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
To prove how he could say that the local, if you don't believe in it, I'll prove it myself. He gave his own self a local, numbed the area, took his own appendix out. Talked the whole time during surgery. Actually, I read that in the Marshall Cato book, and he says you can hunt up the medical journals, and that's a true fact. And they think, wow. Well, what spiritual application can you make with that? Who do you start with when you want revival? How about operate on yourself? Well, Chris, you can sure do this right. Jim, you can straighten up a lot and perish. We won't even go there. And God steps in front of me and says, James says, here's the mirror. You look in it first, Edgar, before you talk to anybody. Oh. Okay. Dr. Kane operated on himself. I want you to operate on yourself. I want you to make sure you're on the right path and going in the right direction. Hard to tell people to follow me if you're on the wrong. Follow me. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm lost. Then I don't want to follow you. Second thing. Are you ready to commit a certain amount of time each day to read about God and to talk about God and about the things in your life? He said, I got to. Tried everything else. Might as well give God this opportunity. Brand new year. Good chance to start. Are you ready to have a deeper walk with Jesus and do more to introduce Him to your family and friends? I hope so. Make a decision to today get started. Andy, last thing here. Can I give you you don't have to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. I wanted to finish our time together, but who was the man who held Jesus? Simeon. Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Now, he meant to die, but as we get dismissed today, I want to go in peace because we've seen Jesus. When you walk out the door, you know, I feel peaceful. Doesn't mean all our problems are solved. Doesn't mean everything's perfect. Just means I have peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Next. Simeon made sure he saw Jesus and experienced salvation before he died. Have you made sure you've experienced Jesus' salvation? You've got to operate on yourself or you can operate on anybody else. And let someone know your decision so we can all rejoice with you today. Would you pray with me? We are going to pray. And then we'll take a few minutes. And we'll have communion. Dear Lord Jesus, today I know I've placed a lot of things before my family here today. Jesus, if we bind together and support one another, and Jesus, on our darkest days when we think nobody would forgive me or nobody cares, Jesus, may you burst through that cloud of despair and say, I love you more than you'll ever know, and I will forgive you, and I will save your soul. And on those of us who already know Jesus, He says, I'll welcome you home, I'll brush you off, clean you up, and I'll bring you back to my side. Don't you ever think I don't love you. Jesus, the only time I would ask that you just shake me as if I ever feel like I'm not loved. May you grab me by the shoulders as my mom and daddy used to get my attention and say, I love you. And don't you ever think that I don't. And Lord, may you just drive home that point, because if I'm loved by the Holy God, which I am, then Satan can't get to me. Your love just covers me up. Lord, may everybody here today know that they're loved by you. You couldn't love them anymore. God, thanks for sending us the best gift at Christmas. Jesus, thanks for being willing to come. I pray, Jesus, that right now that you just hold us close, speak to our hearts, and touch us in a way that we just had not quite thought about before. As it comes time to leave, may we go in your peace like Simeon did, because they've seen you. They've seen Jesus. And it's in your name I pray.